Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing our graduates to hit the ground running.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For most Americans, the stock market's dramatic fall has confirmed something they already knew. The U.S. economy's in trouble. People are squeezed by gas prices, health insurance, homes they can't afford, jobs disappearing. We've heard from a lot of big shots about what's going on and why. Today, we convene our own national roundtable of ordinary Americans for their view of the economy and where we're headed, what's needed. This hour on Point, a look at the economy from the front lines. We're going to listen right across the country today. I'm very happy to have with us first, from Tampa, Florida, Jean Ann Berg. She's been a certified nursing assistant for 28 years, works at a nursing home and rehab center in Fort Myers, Florida. Jean Ann Berg, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, it's great to have you. With us from Van Nuys, California is Jay Ibarra, a Gulf War veteran, locksmith, and owner of Veteran Lock and Key. Many of the locks he works on these days are on homes in foreclosure, so he sees a lot. Jay Ibarra, thank you for joining us today.
Greetings, Tom. Thanks for having me.
There's Florida and California, and from Indianapolis, Indiana, we're joined by small business owner Deb Peters. She owns and runs Quality Environmental Professionals, a 32-person environmental consulting business. They work with cleaning up and developing brownfields sites, sites that need environmental cleanup. Her business has been hit by rising prices on gas and health care and by the credit crunch. Deb Peters, thank you very much for joining us from Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. I'm glad I could be here.
I'm really grateful to all of you. We want to hear your direct experience right out there where you're working, watching your business, your employees, your job. Deb, in Indianapolis, let me come first to you. And let's take it before the credit crunch and the meltdown of the last few weeks. What has the business environment been like for you with your small business?
Well, it's always been a little tough because there's a lot of things out of our control. One of the things that I've noticed over the last year or maybe even 2 years is the increasing cost of health care for my employees. It's averaging about 28% jump every year. And this last year, I had to basically go to a higher deductible for my employees. And it really was not something that I wanted to do. But we had such a big increase that we had to make some cuts as far as the type of benefit package we could have. We have a really good one because I need to keep my employees and retain them. So what we've done is I pay 75% of the policy. They pay 25% of the policy. And for about 32 of us, it's running about $12,000 a month.
$12,000 a month. And what about your own health insurance coverage as the owner of your small firm, Deb?
Well, what I did is I went to the health savings plan so that it wouldn't cost my company any more money. So I elected to make sure my staff was covered, and then I took the health savings account for myself. It's just part of, you know, doing what's right for the whole and the team.
And do you see this as a good year for your business or not?
Well, we're doing okay. We've had our ups and downs, and I kind of look at it as a roller coaster ride for a small business because, you know, you have some really good times and you're kind of climbing up and making some profits, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a quick drop and then a fast turn here and there. And so to me, running the business in the last year or two has been like on a big roller coaster ride.
Jay Ibarra, in Van Nuys, California, you're a locksmith. You're out there every day working on locks, presumably most often on homes and houses. First of all, how's business?
I'm going to have to go with Deb on this one, Tom. Like a roller coaster. It's very competitive out here to begin with. Secondly, I've noticed that the trend of foreclosures is on the rise, as well as thefts and burglaries on commercial businesses.
So what does that look like? When you're brought into a home in foreclosure, they want to change the locks after somebody's left that house. What do you see when you go out to do that, Jay?
You know, Tom, usually it's been some kind of like drug use or something like that to lead to the foreclosure, and you see the person's rolled down their luck. Now I'm starting to see that it's just normal people, just like me, that got caught up. Sometimes they're nice big houses. You could see obviously they couldn't afford them anymore. On the other side of the coin, there's houses just like mine, small, two-bedroom, one-bath houses. Families, you can see it appears that they have been falling on hard times probably months leading up to the eviction. By the way, the house is left. Sometimes they'll have all their stuff gone. It'll be clean. Other times they'll have everything they own right there. Sometimes they'll be waiting for the sheriffs, and sometimes they'll be coming and have to move the people right out of the house right when I'm standing there, as well as the realtor representing the bank side.
How's that make you feel as the locksmith, ready to change the lock and seal them off from everything they've lived with and in that home?
Probably the same as the sheriff's deputy, as well as the realtor. I mean, we're regular people too. Unfortunately, we have a job to do, and this entails part of our work.
Deb Peters, you've had to cut back in certain areas and have your employees do some different kinds of work than what they've normally done to make it through this stretch.
Yeah, since my employees are my greatest asset, I need to keep them because they're highly specialized. So some of the things that we've done is, and it's been kind of a funny situation, when people don't have enough work to do, we've sent them out to do extra lawn maintenance, such as we had a big weeping cherry tree that had touched the ground, and we went out and sent employees out trimming trees. We've trimmed bushes. We've done landscaping. We've done some mulching. We've cut back the use of our color copiers on our reports and made everything in black and white to save money. We've taken it too extreme sometimes, but we've looked at the cost of saving money because we can't control the cost of health care. We can't control the cost of the gasoline because our fleet of trucks and vans, we were accustomed to paying $3,000 a month for gasoline. Then it went to $7,000. So, you know, we're looking at little things and small changes that will have a big impact on what we're doing.
$3,000 a month to $7,000 a month on gasoline in a small business, that's a big hit. Jean Ann Berg in Fort Myers, Florida, you work as a nursing assistant there, mother of a 6-year-old son. You've been in that work for a long time, 28 years. How do you feel the U.S. economy is treating you and your family?
It is the biggest factor in my life not to afford health care for me and my family. And you've been taking care of lives for 28 years.
So what are you doing to make ends meet, to deal with what you're facing?
I'm trying to get the right candidate in to get health care for all. Because if my daughter gets sick, I can lose what I have. So it's a fear every day.
So you've really gotten political in this campaign season. I see here in my notes you're a member of the Service Employees International Union. You're actually on leave on your job doing political campaigning this time out?
I am phone banking, educating the voters. We work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. This is so important to me, and it impacts my child's future. I mean, for a mother not to have health care and for her daughter not to have health care, there's something wrong here. And I have hope and urgency with the workers, with the right vote, with Obama.
So you're campaigning for Obama in this season. How can you afford to do that, to take the leave to do that? Is the union paying for your time?
We sacrifice, and we've raised, you know, campaign money. And you have to do what you have to do in your heart to make a better life for the next generation.
Do you feel like you've had that in your generation compared to your parents, compared to the economy you see around you?
I haven't been to the doctors in 7 years, and I still do not have affordable health care.
Are you so confident that you're campaigning for Obama, that Obama policy would change that for you?
I know it will, because there's hope and there's urgency with the working people. He knows that this cannot go on another 8 years, so I've seen him in person on several occasions, and the urgency is there for the working people. Number one, fix the working people.
Jay Ibarro in California. Jean Ann has taken her circumstances and gotten very political. How about you? Are you looking closely at the presidential campaign? Do you know where you're going to go?
You know, I think everyone is at this point. Unfortunately, for me anyway, I'm really not seeing it in either one of these people. I don't believe they're Roosevelt, a Kennedy, or Reagan. I don't believe they can turn the economy around. I just don't have faith in either one. It's going to be for me personally, it's going to be a chance to pick the worst of two evils.
And Deb Peters in Indianapolis, where are you leaning politically at this point?
Well, I don't think I agree with Jay, when he basically said that he didn't have faith in either one of the candidates. I sat here, too, very uncertain about both of them, because when I look at health care, McCain is too vague, and then Obama pretty much hits me with a double whammy when it comes to mandates and tax increases to pay it. But and when I look at things like energy, I'm more for Obama than I am for McCain. When it comes to labor issues and social issues, I really feel for Gene not having any health care, and it really does bother me. So I'm hoping that, you know, she can take more personal responsibility, and all of us can, for her health.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back with much more. We're talking this hour with a national roundtable of ordinary Americans about how the country's new economic realities are hitting home, hitting them. We're joined from Fort Myers, Florida today by Jean Ann Berg. She's a nursing assistant, been in that work for 28 years, member of the Service Employees International Union in South Florida, who's actually taken leave to campaign for Barack Obama in recent weeks. She's a single mother of a six-year-old daughter. She has never had healthcare. With us from Indianapolis, Indiana, Deb Peters. She's head of Quality Environmental Professionals. It's a 32-person small business, environmental consulting business, works with development of brownfields sites, environmental cleanup. They've had to cut back in recent weeks and months as gas prices have risen and a credit crunch has hit there. Jay Ibarra joins us from Van Nuys, California. He's a locksmith, owner of Veteran Lock and Key, and a lot of the locks he's been changing are on foreclosed homes. A lot of talk on the campaign trail in recent days about economic crisis. Yesterday in Toledo, Ohio, Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama laid out new measures to shore up the economy.
We need to pass an economic rescue plan for the middle class, and we need to do it not 5 years from now, not next year. We need to do it right now.
And Republican presidential candidate John McCain in Virginia Beach, Virginia yesterday said Americans are suffering.
Our economy is in crisis. Financial markets are collapsing. Credit is drying up. Your savings are in danger and your retirement is at risk.
Sid is joining us from Burnsville, North Carolina. Sid, you're on the air with fellow Americans from Florida, Indiana, and California. What do you see, Sid?
Hello, Tom. How are you today?
Pretty well, pretty well. What do you see?
Tom, I'm in North Carolina, up in the mountains of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We're the poorest county in North Carolina. The financial things that have been going on, seems to me, has been kind of above our heads. Most of the factories in the last 5-10 years have gone, mostly textile and furniture-type factories. The economy's in real sad shape, and all the things that they're doing in Washington doesn't seem like it's going to do a bit of good for us people who don't have a lot of money out in the country, because the work that needs to get done to build the economy on a local level just isn't here.
When you say work, you mean jobs? You mean you mean factories, or do you mean something that Washington or Wall Street ought to be doing to give you a hand?
Well, Wall Street and Washington seem to be concentrating on one thing, and that's giving back the gamblers and on Wall Street back their money after they've lost it. And somehow that's supposed to trickle down to all us people down here. But for most of us, it's not going to make a bit of difference whether they open up the credit market between the banks, because the small people wouldn't be able to get a loan anyway.
A lot of money has been made over the last couple of decades and more. Sid, what about trickle down? How's that work for you?
Well, it's not trickling down. That's the basic thing. But I do have something to say about the bailout that they're doing in New York, and that is that the New York Times financial editor said, I think on your show, that there's $60 trillion worth of these credit default swaps that are out there, and it seems like the people are going to get stuck with that $60 trillion, not $900 or $800 or $700 billion.
That's a big number. I hope we're not stuck with it, Sid. Thanks very much for calling. Deb Peters, what about the whole crisis of the last several weeks and the bailout and the measures being taken now? As a small business owner, are you looking at those and saying, thank heavens they're getting in there and intervening, keep the economy going, bring me some business? Or are you saying, you know, hey, they're going to ask me to pay for bailing out fat cats on Wall Street?
Well, I think that there should be some accountability for both the government and for Wall Street, because I know in small business, when I have hard times, no one's there to bail me out. And so from the standpoint, I really believe that some of the things that they have done impacted me personally. For example, my line of credit that I carry so that I can pay my employees. And I usually, it takes about 60 days before I ever even have an opportunity to have my clients pay me back from the cycles of how it works. So when my credit line goes from a 5.25% to 10%, there's an issue. And, you know, I guess from my standpoint, helping out these big businesses are supposed to give the bank a more solid foundation for them to not be so paranoid on credit lines and that type of thing. But my standpoint is people should buy houses that they can afford. And if they can't afford it, then they shouldn't be buying it. There should be some personal accountability in what we do. I myself, if I can't afford something, I can't buy it. I can't live on a credit card. My small business is like a family. And so what I want to do at home as well as work is I need to take care of my family. So what I try to do when I make cuts is I try to stay within QEPI's means. And if we can't afford to do something, even if we really need it, you know, we have to prioritize and say these are some of the things we have to do.
QEPI, your small business there. On the other hand, you and everybody in that level of the economy needs credit. And if you can't get it, you're in trouble. Let me get a call from Fort Myers, Florida, and Edward. Edward, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Very well. What do you see?
I feel like I'm being punished. I'm someone, I went to college a long time. I work real hard. I work a lot of extra hours. I'm married. You know, and I happen to fall into that group that makes about $250,000 a year. And I'm very grateful for that. But I'm not disgustingly wealthy. And I feel like it's this group that's going to end up paying for everything. I mean, I already pay a lot of taxes. I pay more than I probably should, you know, and I'm taking care of family members, I'm taking care of my own, and I buy things that I can afford, you know, and now it looks like for all that hard work that I've done, for all the extra work that I want to do, or that I'm willing to do, that I'm going to be taxed for it, and I'm going to be punished for it, when all these other people, you know, get all their money back at the end of the year, and I end up paying, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in taxes, and they want more.
Edward, hang on. It sounds like you're thinking about Obama's tax program, as he says, 95% no tax increase, but people in your income bracket would see an increase. Let me put it to your fellow Floridian, Jean Ann Berg. Jean Ann, Edward makes $250,000, and he doesn't want to pay. He feels like he pays enough taxes already. You're for Obama, but his plan would hike taxes on Edward. What do you think about that, Jean Ann?
I think we need to have a bailout plan for all Americans in health care, and whatever it takes, we have to take care of everybody.
Even if it means higher taxes for those at the top of the income scale, Jean Ann?
Yes.
Deb, how about you on taxes? You're a small business person. I don't know where you fall exactly in terms of your revenues and tax anticipation. Do you think you'd pay more if Obama is president? Are you ready to do it?
I absolutely believe I would pay more, and no, I'm not ready to do it. I'm an S-Corp, and as an S-Corp, that means it's stockholders have to run the taxes of through the individual shareholders that the company would make. When the company makes money, that's my retained earnings. That's mm-hmm. what I need to stay in business so that I can have a credit line. So if they're going to, if I get and run the revenue through my personal income tax, and I don't make $250,000 a year, but if I have to run that revenue through me individually, then I don't even get a dime of it. They're taxing my retained earnings, which is my working capital. That really affects all of my employees.
So
that
you're
affects
saying,
my ability to hire.
Are you saying you don't net out $250,000, or you don't have gross revenues of $250,000?
I do not have gross revenues. Me, as far as my wages, when I get my paycheck is not $250,000 a year. My husband and I together are not $250,000 a year.
But when you throw in your company's entire earnings, you're over that?
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, I want to try and get some clarity on exactly this point. If you stand by for just a minute, because it's come up before on this show. We have Eric Toder with us. He's with the Urban Institute and Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center in Washington. Eric, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Nice to be with you.
It's great to have you. We've got a small businesswoman, Deb Peters, with us from Indianapolis, and there have been questions raised about who, at what point small business people would begin paying taxes under the Obama tax plan. She's got gross revenues in her business, her S-Corp, higher than $250,000. Is she going to end up paying more, even though her personal earnings are less than that? Would she pay more under the Obama plan or not?
Well, the $250,000 is based on your net income, which would include your wages plus your net profits from a business. That is, after the small business owner, in the case of an S-corporation, if it's a one-person owner, and that corporation, say, had $500,000 in revenues and paid out $250,000 in wages, it would have $250,000 left of net income, other than the income the owner pays to herself. Now, the income that she pays to herself is not part of the profits of the business, but it is her wages. So what she pays in wages really doesn't affect her income tax liability.
So,
if she has net income of $250,000 or more, she will be paying more taxes.
Deb, does that seem to describe you?
Well, me and the other 26 million of small businesses out there with their families and employees, I would say no, because if we do our accounting based on an accrual system, so at the end of the year we convert from accrual to cash. So there could be a year where I may lose money on an accrual basis, but we receive money in on a cash basis, and even though I don't have any physical money to pay myself to take a distribution, or maybe I don't have any basis for distribution, then what happens is I have to run that revenue through my and my husband's W-2s. We are taxed on that.
Eric,
so,
Yeah, we hear that. Eric Toder, does that seem like a fair concern on Deb's part as a small business
Well,
owner?
I'm not really quite sure what she's talking about with accrual and cash and how the accounting is done. I mean, the description of you know, the way the business accounting is done is you do have an accrual method for or a cash method for taking care of inventories, but you do get a deduction for that, and you do get to recover the cost of your investment. And if you're a small business and you're buying equipment, you can deduct the investment immediately. So the net income comes up, you know, after all those costs are taken into account.
It sounds like a lot of people are going to be having tax consequence consultations here over the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot speak to any individual, but the tables we do, which are based on the net income of people, the way it's treated in the tax law, shows that of people who get at least 50% of their income from business, about 2% of those people would face higher taxes under the Obama plan. Now, your caller may be one of those 2%.
Mm. Eric Toder with the Tax Policy Center in Washington, thanks very much for being with
us.
Jay Ibarra in Van Nuys, California, how do you look at the tax issue and McCain and Obama? Is that a decisive piece for you in looking at the political landscape right now? Do you expect to pay more taxes, or do you feel fairly, insulated from that?
I don't think anybody's insulated from that. I got to be honest that I'll probably be in the booth for a couple hours waiting for the Chad to fall.
Making up your mind on that?
Yes.
Obama-McCain choice?
That's correct.
How do you go back and forth on it now? Given what you're seeing in the economy, looking at these two candidates, how do you weigh it back and forth?
You know, man has to go by his word and his record. And we're seeing, as far as I'm concerned, people that, two gentlemen that have good qualities, but not enough over the halfway point to make me vote for either one of them.
So if you went for Obama, it would be because what? Or if you went for McCain, it would be why?
That's a good question. I'm still thinking about that one.
Wow, so that sounds like you may be there for 2 hours in the voting booth. Let's get a call from Chesapeake, Virginia, and Debbie. Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to make a comment about everybody just kind of jumping on homeowners that are in trouble with their mortgages and basically saying we're big fat losers. And not everybody is in a mortgage right now or in a crisis right now because they overextended themselves when they took out the mortgage. But life happens. With me, I had a staph infection, damaged my heart. I was working as a teacher, and then I had a part-time job that helped me buy classroom supplies. And I've had 3 heart surgeries and haven't gone out back to the classroom. Well, the other job isn't enough. And even though it works for a large electric company that the CEO makes real good money, it doesn't trickle down to me, and I'm in trouble. I mean, I've raised 3 kids by myself. They've all graduated from college, and they're doing well, but it's really hard on the wages that we get paid. And this economic package that we just passed really bothers me because I'm wondering if the pay for the CEO isn't being questioned enough. When I saw how much the CEO of Lehman Brothers made, because I taught math, I had to do the calculations and calculated that he makes almost $31,000 an hour based on a 30-hour work week if you take into account what he made, and that boiled down to over $8 a second.
That's pretty good money. Debbie, we hope your luck turns around there in Chesapeake, Virginia. Thanks for your call. Jay, how about it? You're out there looking at homes where the foreclosures are going on. Debbie says, look, don't assume that it's a bunch of slackers or people who have necessarily had eyes bigger than their stomach or, you know, what they could afford in these houses. What do you see, Jay, in terms of who's losing their homes in your neck of the woods?
I see people just like you and I. I see people like Deb and Jean. These people, you know, when you go to buy a house and you're looking at your kids and it's your first home and you want to do the best for them, and these loan companies just went ahead and gave these people money without necessarily checking all their qualifications. I see it happen all the time. People just want to do best for their families. And maybe, you know, some of the cases I would have to agree, eyes bigger than their stomach, for sure. But I just see normal people out there, and it breaks my heart.
Jay, in Van Nuys, California, Jay Ibarra, Deb Peters in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Jean Ann Berg in Fort Myers, Florida, please stand by. We are putting together our own roundtable of ordinary Americans in this hour, looking out on the economy, the economic crisis we've seen emerge in the last few weeks, the bailout, how the whole picture looks to them, and how they look at the politics of it all going forward. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Let's expand our circle just a little bit to Nashua, New Hampshire, and Joe Iaquinta. He was in the mortgage industry for 15 years as a broker and office manager. That work dried up. He's delivered newspapers, worked as a substitute teacher and a cook. He currently sells flooring, went into bankruptcy himself at the beginning of the summer, and last month lost his own house to foreclosure. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
It's got to feel ironic for a longtime mortgage broker to lose his own home to foreclosure. We're sorry about that, but there must be a bitter irony in that for you.
You know, it is. There is some irony. You know, you think you're doing everything right. Companies I was with, either as a broker or with a bank, typically had standards, high standards. You know, you play by the rules, and yeah, you win some, you lose some. I have no one to blame other than decisions I made myself.
But the floor clearly fell out in a lot of ways for you, delivering papers and working as a cook suddenly and now selling flooring. Where do you see yourself finding your footing again, Joe? What's it going to take in this economy for you to sort of get back on the up and up?
I think I'm there, Tom. I've got a nice job with a flooring company. I still do some cooking on a part-time basis. And, you know, you just work hard and you come back. I think a lot of times people, and having gone through the system, I can attest, as our locksmith has said, you know, people don't plan on this. People don't try to do this. I think a lot of people work really hard, and sometimes you just don't see the forest for the trees, you know, and hopefully America is still a place you pick yourself up and you go back to work.
How many hours a week are you working these days, Joe?
65 to 70.
That's selling the flooring plus what kind of cooking?
Oh, short order, special events.
Right.
All the greasy food that people like.
65 to 70 hours a week. That's some real time in. Let's get a call from Salt Lake City, Utah, and Sean. Sean, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Pretty well. What do you see out there, Sean?
Well, you know, we're hearing these conversations about, you know, health care and then also taxation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the different policies that the candidates have in place. And I'd like to just throw it out there and see what these guys think. You know, with the economic crisis that we're in right now, what are the chances that, you know, either of them are going to keep health care at the front of their plate? And then on top of that, you know, I mean, with the taxes that are going on, that who's going to pay for this? I don't think either candidate has said, you know, specifically how they're going to pay for these policies that they're proposing.
Of course, there's been talk about that. You may or may not buy their explanations for how they'll pay for their programs, but let us pick it up. Jean Ann Berg, health care is your issue. You work as a nursing assistant. You're out there stumping for Obama right now because you think he's got the answer here, but you hear Sean's skepticism. He says, look, the economy is so bad, there's so many challenges, healthcare is going to fall by the wayside, and anyway, how are we going to pay for it for everybody, Jean-Ann?
Well, he has a fabulous plan that the employees and the employer and the government, there would be three people paying into the plan.
So everybody pays in and everybody gets covered, or most of those 50 million with nothing out there, including you right now?
It's going to make the premiums more affordable.
What
offers the same health care coverage that Congress has those who can't afford through their jobs.
And when did you last have health care coverage, Jean-Ann? Did I really get it right? Have you never had it? And what about your daughter?
I can't even remember the last time I've had affordable health care. It's been that long. And this is working for a company for 28 years.
Why don't you shift companies? Go to one that's got a better plan.
In the health field, they do not have affordable health care.
I mean, you can't find an employer where your wages will permit you to get health insurance?
Not affordable.
What's affordable mean?
Lower premiums.
Yeah, but I mean, what you know, how far out of reach are the premiums for you?
They want $600 a month for a family plan.
Okay. And what's your take home a month? How big a bite would that be if you tried to do it?
The average nurse's assistant makes $7 an hour to start.
So that bite would be pretty breathtaking for you.
It's not an option. Healthcare is not an option.
And you've got a 6-year-old daughter. Let's go to Danielle calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Danielle, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just calling because I empathize with the physician assistant. I'm a doctor, just graduated, and, you know, really grateful to this country for all the opportunity it's given me. And
mm-hmm.
the quick line I have is, what do people like myself, my husband, who's a professor, I feel that people like us need to step up to the plate and help people who are struggling. I think we should pay more taxes. So people like dental assistants, like physician aides, who do back-breaking labor, can get the health insurance that they need. I think we must be our brother's keeper.
You're prepared.
And I think that we have to step up to the plate.
You're prepared to do it. Danielle, we've got that perspective. Jay Ibarra in Van Nuys, California, how about it? Does that describe your attitude, or are you one of those that needs the help?
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, I guess you'd say, I'm a disabled veteran, and my health care is covered at 100% for medications and everything.
Mm-hmm.
My children, on the other hand, and my mother do not have health insurance, and she's 58, and the same deal, just not an option.
So when we look at what the country ought to do, do you feel like, you know, if it takes more taxes to get people covered, that ought to be there or not?
Well, I look at it this way. They're pulling out $700 billion right now. I mean, I'm sure there's a few dollars left over, you know, somewhere that we can find to make health care affordable for everybody.
Deb, what's your perspective as a small business owner there? I know you're stretching already with the people that you employ to keep them covered. What do you make on this healthcare front?
Well, I really feel that if we fix healthcare for small businesses, it will fix it for America. And what I mean by that, being a member of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, they give us statistics on what all small businesses are doing right now. And a lot of us cannot control the amount of premiums that it costs for our employees. So therefore, we always have to keep paying even more, and actually they're getting less insurance value for their insurance, even though we're paying more. So I really think that me having this health savings account, I took personal responsibility for that from the standpoint that I was more aware of, you know, what I was doing as far as hospital visits, doctor visits, any of those things, so that I could take responsibility for what I'm doing. And of course, like some of the guests that you've had on,
mm-hmm.
I was devastated at some of the health, you know, consequences they've had. And I really, my heart goes out to them. And those are things that you really can't control. But I really think by taxing, you know, either candidate, when I look at they're way too vague. And I just don't think that. An example is if you've, and I think that this came from Wall Street itself, when you rent a car, do you ever wash the car when you return the rental car? Do you take accountability for washing their car? And I think what you're going to say is no. If you own something and it's your own personal health savings account, then you're going to take responsibility for it.
It sounds like that might put you more in the McCain camp on health care then.
Well, I just really don't think I could afford much more, because if I keep paying more and more, then I won't be able to hire more people. And I would like to give people more jobs and more opportunities, and I can't just keep paying more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to.
Of course.
It's not that I socially don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't do that and stay in business.
Of course, people need jobs and health care. Let's get a call from Alcir in Framingham, Massachusetts. Alcir, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you see?
Well, I see we need some more people with more responsibility up there, you know, because the minor class here working so many hours and trying to get somewhere, and each time we're getting close, something happened and put us back like the far back where we used to be, you know. And I think like our government needs to look better to the small people like us.
What, you have a small business yourself, Alcir?
Yes, I'm a mason.
And how's business these days? Do you have work?
Yes, we have work, because the people cannot sell the house right now, and they have to do some improvements, you know, to keep the house. And I'm in business for 7 years, but it's not great, you know, like it's not like 2 years ago, you know.
And how do you feel about the future? Are you feeling confident or scared?
No, I'm still confident, because we have to give a chance for who is becoming the next president to give us, you know, like what we need. If we think never going to be better, you know. I don't think that's the right way to do it. I think the right way to do it is like look the future in and see the light, like in the end of the tunnel, you know.
So you've got a kind of confidence there that you're sticking with Al-Sir, and we hope that reality turns out to pay off on that. Thanks for calling. Let's get one from Asheville, North Carolina. Celeste, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, Celeste. What do you see, Celeste?
I feel that McCain, I wish you could take both candidates, smash them together, and make one candidate. The problem is both have good ideas, but there's just a little bit here or a little bit there that you'd like to tweak or change. But I feel that the small middle class is the ones that's getting squeezed. You've got the earned income credit that folks that are in the very low incomes that's only making so much. By the time they file their income tax, they actually get money back that they never paid in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for a fact. But it's the middle class that's just trying to make it and working the 70 hours a week that doesn't have any recourse. Like I was telling you, you know, I'd like to retire, but with the cost of gas at what it is and the cost of electricity and everything going up, and my portfolio and my IRA and my 401k is down the tubes with the stock market and the economic crisis.
So Celeste,
you know,
let me ask you, Obama and McCain both in the last couple of days, and more than that, talking a lot about the middle class. You say you'd like to smash them together, but that can't happen. So who do you have more confidence in, Celeste?
Well, if you take in all of their positions, I'm a McCain supporter, and that is who I vote for.
Because?
Well, I happen to be to feel that I am against a marriage being between anything other than a man and a woman. That is an important point to me. I think I like the fact that McCain has a better understanding of what's happening in Iraq. I have two folks that I have my nephew and my son-in-law both in Iraq, and they're both stating that we need to be there and we need to take a measured approach to them being withdrawn. They don't need to just end the war.
So as bad as the economy is,
as
much as you're concerned about the economy, you're still tipping your final decision on the basis of other things. We hear that. Thanks very much, Celeste, for calling. Hey, Joe Iaquinta, how are you looking at this, the economy and the election? Which way are you leaning, Joe?
Undecided as well. I've seen what 8 years of an inexperienced person has wrought. Obviously, I think there'll be certainly more oversight and governance in the financial markets, and I think that's critical. There was a cowboy mentality. People that are very, very smart had no idea what they were signing. Many times.
So when you get in that booth,
you know, the experience factor means a lot to me.
So you, does that mean you're looking at McCain Palin or Obama Biden?
I'm looking at McCain, but if Obama can be any more clearer and any more precise, and then that might sway me at the end. But I would have to say I'm looking at McCain right now. Yes, sir.
Jean Ann Berg, we've had a streak here of callers and guests who are looking pretty closely at McCain, thinking about voting that way. What do you say? What do you say to them?
I think they need to know what they both support. And McCain wants to tax health care for the first time and make you go against get your own insurance, go against the big companies yourself. And that's just not even an option when there's 45 million people uninsured in America.
Why not? I mean, people can go out and buy something.
To go against a big insurance company on your own and to be taxed on health care for the first time?
There's the voice of a nursing assistant who may know of what she speaks from direct experience. Jay Barra, what do you feel about the trend lines here? Do you think things are going to perk up? We saw the markets come back a little today, but boy, it's been a rough few weeks, and for a lot of people, it's been rough for a while. What's your optimism level, Jay?
My optimism level is pretty low. We are in some serious trouble right now. All-time lows in the stock market. Whoever comes in as our next president, I think even if they are and do turn out to be a fantastic leader, we're still going to have the issues of war and the economy crashing right now, and I don't think anybody can look good in that position.
Well, it's a tough one. Jay Ibarra in Van Nuys, California, thank you very, very much for joining us this hour. Really great to have you.
Thank you, sir.
Jay Ibarra runs Veteran Lock and Key in Van Nuys, and I want to thank my guests from right on across the country, Deb Peters in Indianapolis, Indiana, small business owner of Quality Environmental Professionals, 32 people she employs there. That's a lot of responsibility, Deb. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Jean Ann Berg in Fort Myers, Florida, nursing assistant there with SEIU. Jean Ann, thank you very much for being here. Good luck to you and your daughter.
Thank you, Tom.
And Joe Iaquinta in Nashua, New Hampshire. Joe, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.